I'm Jared Knight. This is The President's Perspective from KETR. It's a monthly half-hour chat with the President and CEO of Texas A&M University Commerce, Dr. Dan Jones. Hello, Dr. Jones.
Hello, Jared.
On today's program, Dr. Jones has invited the mayor of Greenville, Texas, the Honorable David Dreiling, to discuss some of the positive things going on in the Hunt County seat. That's on the way. First, these headlines. A&M Commerce is an accredited associate member of the National Association of Schools of Art, thanks to the high academic standards of the art department.
That's right, Jared. Of course, our entire university is accredited by the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools, Commission on Colleges. It's a mouthful. So that's our institutional accreditation. But we have a number of other discipline-specific programs that have their own accreditation that relates only to their program areas. And one of those is our art program. They are accredited by the National Association of Schools of Art and Design. And this is a rigorous process. I monitor this process. I read the reports as they go in and see the responses that come back from the organization itself. Worldwide actually, there are only about 346 institutions that hold this accreditation. So this is very prestigious, and it gives our students in that program additional value. It gives them the assurance, kind of the external, you know, the good housekeeping seal of approval, right. I guess, is one way to describe accreditation. So we're very proud of that. We are invested in the success of that program, and this is one of the very visible indicators of that success.
So the University Giving Society donors are now being recognized as part of a new wall unveiled recently at the Sam Rayburn Student Center.
Yeah, 2 months ago, I guess it was. Each year we have a donor recognition event of some kind. Every other year we have the Royal Roar, which is a kind of an extravaganza. Last year it was at the Union Station in Dallas, and that's just quite a party. In the alternate years, we have a somewhat more limited event here on campus, and we call it the Lucky's Thank You Celebration. We held it in the Student Center, and at that event, we unveiled our giving wall. The giving wall is located in the new section of the Student Center, kind of in that south wing down there. And I would encourage anyone who hasn't wandered by there to go take a look. And it really is, it's a very attractive addition to the Student Center and to the campus. And it gives our donors the kind of recognition that they truly deserve. They are the lifeblood of the institution. And what great ambassadors and what great supporters for this university as it moves forward into its second 125 years.
Sure. Well, an opportunity for folks to be recognized for helping to make education possible for so many students. Another story here about Funding Your Future initiatives aim to provide free graduate courses and scholarships.
Yeah, that price point that you mentioned, free.
Yeah,
that's one that seems to have a lot of resonance with a lot of folks.
Ears perk up.
Yeah, their ears perk up. In this era when we're hearing so much about the rising cost of getting a college degree and tuition and fees going up and student debt and so forth, I think it's refreshing to hear that we have this scholarship program which allows graduate students in selected programs to get free tuition, free courses, free graduate credit. We call it Funding Your Future, both at the master and the doctoral levels. We have it in a variety of fields, physics, chemistry, biology, math, ag, as well as doctoral programs. And I am particularly proud of the fact that we are including Texas teachers in this program. So teachers who are out in the field, out in the schools, they're already certified. They want to get their master's to advance their career. They want to get their doctorate degree. Maybe they want to move into administration. This program is one that they can take advantage of as well. Particularly, we want to support those students who are specializing and getting additional training in the high-need areas in our schools, not just in the region, but statewide and nationwide, quite frankly. And these are, of course, science, math, STEM areas. Reading is a big one. We want to turn out very, very highly qualified reading teachers. Bilingual education with the changing demographics of our state is a field. If you have a degree in bilingual education, you never need to worry about having a job. Special ed, same thing in Spanish. So all the information is on our website.
TAMUC.edu/fundingyourfuture.
And just click on that, and we'll show you the money.
That's right. Free.
Free, yeah. Right.
Dr. Zachary Shirley has recently been named the director of Fraternity and Sorority Life, which is a growing department serving a growing number of students and student organizations on campus.
Yes, and Dr. Shirley is one of our own graduates, very proud of Zach and his twin brother, Greg, who was also our graduate. They used to both work here, and they are twin brothers, and I could never tell which one was which without their name tags on. But Zach has recently taken over as director of Fraternity and Sorority Life. We've had significant growth in this area in the last 5 years. In 2010, we had 15 active chapters and 338 members. We now have 20 active chapters and nearly 500 members. And, you know, a lot of people, when they hear about fraternity life and Greek life, first thing they think of is Animal House, you
right.
know. And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Toga
Iconic.
Parties.
Iconic, yeah.
Right. That's not, I can't say that some of that doesn't go on here, but that is not the focus of fraternity and sorority life at this campus. Our fraternities and sororities are active in service and outreach to the community, and they are incubators of leadership for our students. A lot of our student leaders, that's sort of their port of entry
right.
into leadership positions throughout the university. And we know through research, and lots of it, that students who are active and engaged graduate more quickly with higher GPAs and less student debt. So at A&M Commerce, fraternity and sorority life is not a distraction. It complements the academic mission of the institution. Very proud of the growth there.
All right, so as a Greenville resident myself, I'm particularly thrilled today to hear from the guest.
Well, as am I, Jared. Mayor David Dreiling is the mayor of Greenville, and he's a first-time guest on The President's Perspective. He has a distinguished biography, and if I read this, we wouldn't have any time to actually listen to him.
Okay.
So I'll just hit the high points. He's a veteran, flew in Vietnam. Has a Bachelor of Science degree in Electrical Engineering from Purdue, not a bad place, as well as two master's degrees, one in Electronic Warfare Systems Technology and one in Management. He spent his career at E-System, Raytheon, and then, of course, L3 Communications, which those organizations evolved into. From 2009 to 2015, he was on the JUICE Board of Trustees, the Greenville Electric Utility System, where he served as board chair. And he's also been involved with the Texas Municipal Power Agency. He and his wife have lived in Greenville since 1986, have three grown children, four grandchildren, of which I am deeply jealous. They are active members of Wesley United Methodist Church. Mayor Dreiling, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. And you left out one thing. I now have a great-grandson of November.
Oh, my gosh. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. We're very proud of that.
Jared, update the database,
please. Yeah, I'm
going
to have to get that taken care of.
Well, that's really what life is all about. A lot of great things going on in Greenville these days. As a faithful reader of the Greenville Herald Banner, it seems like hardly a day goes by without the announcement of a new store opening, new retail. And some of these are, you know, small mom-and-pop operations, which are vital to the community. Some of them are, you know, big chain stores. I think last week there was an article about an academy and a Hobby Lobby coming to town. So that must be very exciting and gratifying for you as the mayor to see that kind of growth taking place.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to come up here. We think A&M Commerce is extremely important to the overall life and growth of the students and the people in Greenville. So thank you for the opportunity.
Quite welcome.
Yes, we're very excited. Things are happening well. With the mall expansion, we're getting new clothing stores, pet stores, shoe stores, and it's a pleasure to drive by and see the parking lot full of shoppers so that they have the opportunity to shop in Greenville instead of having to go to an outlying town.
Right.
As you mentioned, we had the groundbreaking last week or earlier this week for Hobby Lobby and with Academy Sports, and both of those, if the rain will hold off a little bit, they should open this summer. So the projection right now is for June, and
wow.
So yeah, it's very exciting that they can get that done.
That's amazing. Clearly they don't, this is not a state of Texas project.
Well, I did talk to Kent Steinbeck, who is the mm-hmm. overall coordinator and was owner of the Steinbeck family, owned all that property out there, and they were able to get this to economy to come in. And he said, if the rain keeps up, they may have to put up tents. Now,
yeah.
I can't imagine a tent that big, but it's a good
yeah.
positive attitude.
Absolutely.
But we've also seen some great things come in. We have the new Walmart neighborhood market. It's doing well. Aldi's just opened up. So we're seeing that, plus what I've been briefed on and what's been advertised in the paper, is it looks like we're going to, in the next year, we should have 10 new restaurants in town.
Wow.
So that's going to be a great expansion. So we're seeing a lot of growth and a lot of expansion. And as you identified, some of them are corporate-type restaurants. Some of them are more on the mom-and-pop type. But we're excited about having that expansion.
Well, and it takes both, you know, because that contributes to the, you know, the kind of the vitality and quality of life in the community, as well as generates a lot of additional sales tax revenue, which has to make your life as mayor a little more pleasant.
It would be a lot easier, yes.
Well, so Greenville is in the process of becoming not the city you drive through on your way to Rockwall, but a retail destination.
We want you to drive into Greenville and do your shopping there, not go to Rockwall.
Right.
And so we're working on that, and we're very pleased. We're working to try and improve the overall look of the city. We've got a project Restore where we're taking land that's been taken over by the city for tax foreclosures, and we've got a program to where we can get that back to the citizens at a very low cost, with excusing the back taxes and the liens and stuff like this, to allow people to have a neighborhood market or next door, or fix up a lot next door for the kids to play, or a church to build a parking lot. This is to get the neighborhood back to the people. The
right.
city doesn't need to be in a real estate market.
Exactly, exactly. Well, and those kinds of programs can make a real difference. It takes a couple of years to get momentum going on them. But, yeah, once it gets underway, it, you know, restores that sense of civic pride, and it just becomes a better place to live for everybody.
Well, we're pretty excited with that project. We initially offered up 80 lots. And so far, we've had bids on 36 of those, and
wow.
that was just in the first go-around. So we're excited. I think the people are hearing more about it, and it's becoming a better program for them.
Great.
You're listening to The President's Perspective on 88.9 KETR with Dr. Dan Jones. I'm Jared Knight. Our guest is Greenville Mayor David Dreiling.
Well, a growing community like Greenville is going to see some growth in the area of public education as well. And Texas A&M University Commerce recently announced that we have applied to establish a charter school. This is a lengthy process. The charter has not yet been granted. Also, quite recently, there was news of another charter school planning to come in on the location of the old Phoenix Charter School. I know from previous conversations that you've been a big supporter of what A&M Commerce is trying to do. How do you see the STEM Academy that we envision as contributing to the vitality of the community?
I think it's vital. I think it gives people the opportunity to get their kids educated in a different style of program. The current schools offer STEM programs, but it's on a case-by-case basis on individual courses. The one that you're offering, as I understand it, will be a full-time STEM.
Correct.
And we see that as a great opportunity. There's it's going to give the kids the best opportunity for a lasting education in problem solving and in working in the key things that are necessary for a successful life and a successful career. I've talked to several of the people in town, talked to business owners. Everybody is very, very excited about the opportunity. And when it was briefed by Dr. Horn at the city council meeting, she got a standing applause from the people that were there.
She was a little surprised by that, but very gratified at the same time.
But the city council is fully behind you, and we fully support the opportunity, and we look forward to helping however we can.
Well, we certainly appreciate your support. And, you know, the purpose of any charter school is to provide, as you mentioned, an alternative approach to education. The one that we have proposed will be employ a pedagogy known as project-based learning. There's a nationally recognized and validated curriculum from Project Lead the Way. And one of the things that this curriculum is particularly effective at is helping low-income kids be more successful. And I know that that's a challenge, really, that all school districts face, but it's one that is certainly in the sights in Greenville as well, helping the kids at the lower end of the social economic spectrum succeed at the same levels as everyone else.
It's great to give them the opportunity, because when they're working, the kids are working hard. Sometimes they don't get the necessary backup support. They can't come home necessarily to parents that are sitting there helping them get their homework done and study, right, because the parents are struggling very hard just to make ends meet. They're having to work two or three jobs, and that's understandable. So an opportunity for the kids to come in and be able to get a good, solid education and get the help they need is going to be great. It'll help everybody out there.
Right. And it's, again, the key is active learning so that they're solving problems. They're not just, seeing things being written on a blackboard.
I remember going through school way back in the dark ages, and we really didn't have to use clay tablets at the time. But there was a lot of things you had to memorize, these things, and I really didn't care how much wheat came across, in Egypt in 400. So what you're teaching and the problem solvings and the way that it's going to be addressed, it's going to gear up the children for a great opportunity, and it's going to be what they face in life.
Right. Yeah, I think speaking more broadly, kids, when with your grandchildren and now great-grandchild, you probably know this better than some of the rest of us, they live in a very different world than the one we grew up in. Much more stimulation, being bombarded with information from all directions. So, and that information is freely accessible, 24/7. So that education is much less a matter of transferring information from, a smart guy or a smart lady to, receptive teachers. I mean, they can get the information. It's learning how to process that information, critically analyze it, and use it to solve problems.
It's one thing to have Google to find the source or the phrase that you're looking for, but it's another thing to be able to apply that.
Right.
And I spent many years working, as you said, out at the L3 Raytheon area, and I worked as a program manager, program director. And there wasn't a matter of having to figure out, well, what do I memorize? It's a process, and how do you solve problems, and how you resolve these things? And I think that's exactly what your school is going to help do, and we're really excited about the opportunity.
Yeah, and working in teams, it kind of goes along with all of that. I know I'm sure this was true at Raytheon. It's been true in my career. It's one thing to say, okay, your assignment is to write a term paper. I can still remember my senior class writing a term paper comparing two British novels. I don't remember much about the point of it, but I do remember spending an awful lot of time on it. But that's typically not the kind of problem that kids, young people face when they get out in the workplace. They are assigned, okay, here's the issue. You need to marshal your forces. You need to get the right people engaged in it, and you need to come up with a solution that will work.
When I was working on programs out there, it was a daily basis that you had a problem that you either had to work with a customer, you had to work with a supplier, or a problem on a project, and it required a team approach, just as you've described, to be able to resolve that. It wasn't a matter of compare these two books. It's a matter of how do you get this system working, how do you get it on, and how can you deliver on time.
Right.
And that's a project-oriented type thinking, and that's what I think is really important for the youth coming
up. Right. And again, I think our public schools do some of that already. But coming back to my theme about charter schools being as centers of innovation, it is our hope that in addition to providing an educational alternative, that we also become a resource for educators throughout the region. And we very much want to build into the design of the program professional development for area educators. We want to help them solve the problems that they are facing, because some of these problems are very vexing problems, they don't have single kind of silver bullet solutions. They require a host of different kinds of creative responses in a very complex and dynamic environment.
It's something they have to face on a daily basis, and I think having the resource, and we look forward to having you down there and setting that up, is not only going to be good for the educational system, but for the business owners down there.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we work with the state and PJC for training sessions for new employees that are coming in, and it's working out very, very well. So we look forward to you being able to help out and work in that area as well.
Yeah, I think the key is partnership. Of course, we partner with PJC for many, many years. If you walk up on the third floor of this building, you'll see an office that says Paris Junior College on it, because we contract with them to teach our developmental math courses. They just do a better job of it than we do. That's not kind of our specialty. We partner with all the districts. Of course, we are the fourth in the state in terms of producing teaching certificates, superintendency, so forth. Proportionally, we are far and away the largest provider. We are fourth in the state in terms of producing teachers, but we're about number 17 or 18 overall in terms of size. So this institution has been engaged in education for a long, long time. Again, our goal is not just to keep cranking out pretty good teachers. It's to work closely with civic leaders such as yourself and other educators to tackle these problems.
Well, my son went here when it was East Texas State University, and the growth that you guys have done as far as when you took over and it became A&M Commerce and the expansion, and it's just marvelous, the opportunities that you're giving to the kids. And we look forward to having that as a benefit to the city, to the county, and we look forward to your STEM Academy.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mary DeRiley, and thank you for being our guest today on The President's Perspective.
Thank you.
Congratulations on all the great things that are happening in Greenville, and we look forward to more great things ahead.
It's my pleasure, and thank you very much for this opportunity.
The President's Perspective is a monthly half-hour chat with the President and CEO of Texas A&M University Commerce, Dr. Dan Jones. This program is recorded and produced at KETR's studios in historic Binion Hall on the campus of Texas A&M University Commerce. Find archives of this and other programs online at KETR.org. While you're there, consider supporting public radio in Northeast Texas by clicking Donate. I'm Jared Knight. Thanks for listening.